The Germany that was my country, and the country of those like me, was not just a blob on the map of Europe. It was characterized by certain distinctive attributes, humanity, openness on all sides, philosophical depth of thought, dissatisfaction with the world and oneself, the courage always to try something fresh and to abandon it if need be, self-criticism, truthfulness, objectivity, severity, rigor, variety, a certain ponderousness, but also delight in the freest improvisation, caution and earnestness, but also a playful richness of invention, engendering ever new ideas that it quickly rejects as invalid, respect for originality, good nature, generosity, sentimentality, musicality, and above all, freedom, something roving, unfettered, soaring, weightless, Promethean. Secretly, we were proud that in the realm of the spirit our country was the land of unlimited possibilities. Be that as it may, this was the country we felt attached to, in which we were at home. This Germany has been destroyed and trampled underfoot by the nationalists, and it has at last become clear who its deadliest enemy was, German nationalism itself and the German Reich. To stay loyal to it and belong to it, one had to have the courage to recognize this fact and all its consequences. Nationalism, that is, national self-reflection and self-worship, is certainly a dangerous mental illness wherever it appears, capable of distorting the character of a nation and making it ugly, just as vanity and egoism distort the character of a person and make it ugly. In Germany, this illness has a particularly vicious, destructive effect, precisely because Germany's innermost character is openness, expansiveness, even in a certain sense, selflessness. If other peoples suffer from nationalism, it is an incidental weakness, beside which their true qualities can remain intact. But in Germany, nationalism kills the basic values of the national character. That explains why the Germans, doubtless a fine, sensitive, and human people in healthy circumstances, become positively inhuman when they succumb to the nationalist illness. They take on a brutal nastiness of which other peoples are incapable. Only the Germans lose everything through nationalism, the heart of their humanity, their existence, their selves. This illness, which damages only the external features of others, corrodes their souls. A nationalist Frenchman can still be a typical and otherwise quite likable Frenchman. A German who yields to nationalism is no longer a German. What he achieves is a German empire, maybe even a great or pan-German empire, but also the destruction of Germany. Admittedly, you should not imagine that in 1932 Germany and its culture were in a flourishing, magnificent state, which the Nazis demolished at a single blow. The history of Germany's self-destruction through poisonous nationalism goes further back than that. It would be worth writing about. Its great paradox is that every act of this self-destruction consisted of a victorious war, a great outward triumph. 150 years ago, Germany was in the ascendant. The Liberation Wars against Napoleon of 1813 and 1815 were the first setback. The wars of 1864 to 1870, the second. Nietzsche was the first to recognize prophetically that German civilization had just lost its war against the German Reich. For a long time, Germany was prevented from finding its political shape by the straitjacket of Bismarck's Prusso-German Reich. From then on, it had no political representation, except perhaps in its Catholic sector. The nationalist right hated it. The Marxist left ignored it. Yet it remained mutely and stubbornly alive until 1933. You could still find it in a thousand homes, families, and circles of friends, in the editorial offices of some newspapers and publishers, in theatres and concert halls, and in odd corners of public life from churches to cabarets. It was only the Nazis, radical and thoroughly organized as they were, who rooted and smoked it out wherever it was to be found. The first country to be occupied by the Nazis was not Austria or Czechoslovakia. It was Germany. It was just one of their now so familiar tricks that they occupied and trampled on the nation in the name of Germany itself. That was part of the mechanism of destruction. a German who felt attached to this Germany, and not to any structure that happened to be erected in a particular geographical location, had no alternative but to leave, however forbidding this step, which would outwardly deprive him of his country, must appear. On the other hand, the expansiveness and openness that lie in the original German character made this loss perhaps a little easier than it would have been for others. One came to feel that any foreign country would seem more like home than Adolf Hitler's Reich. Perhaps it might be possible, one thought with timid hope, to save a little bit of Germany here and there, abroad.